Jeremiah, you know a little bit about the book of Jeremiah, I'm sure. Jeremiah is the longest prophetic book in all of the Bible. 52 chapters. Longest prophetic book in all of the Bible. Jeremiah was a lonely man. There's some great interesting verses right in the first few verses of Jeremiah chapter 1 where the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, came to him several times. I was just thinking, meditating upon that. Lord, let the word of God come to me often. I want God that to happen every day in my life, and you do too. Jeremiah was called prophet, and the Bible says that he said, before I ever formed you, God's speaking to Jeremiah, before I ever formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I sanctified you, I ordained you. Isn't that wonderful thought to know that before you were even a figment of anybody's imagination, just like Jeremiah, God knew you. He knew you before you were even formed, how tall you're going to be, how short you're going to be, everything in between. He knew all that. He knew exactly your destiny. He knew exactly your purpose. He had it all planned. He set you apart. You're an individual. I was going to say you're a flake, but you're an individual snowflake. You know, kind of like the snowflakes. You're just unique. All of us are unique. Thank the Lord for that. And we're not clones. And Jeremiah was told that by the Lord and said, Jeremiah, I've got a plan for you. I've God called you to be a prophet. And he said, oh, Lord God, I'm just a child. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to speak. He says, I'll take care of that. And he said, you just speak whatever I've commanded you. And I've told the Lord today, I've got Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I said, Lord, you just put it into my mouth and I'll say it. And by the grace of God, I want to be a blessing to you this morning. So I've decided to zero in here this morning on the power of prayer. I don't know how you'd assess your prayer life today. Would it be on a scale of 1 to 10? Would it be a 10? 10 being high, 1 being low. Would it be a 5, just average in there? Would you assess that maybe your prayer life needs some work? I know all of us here this morning would probably raise their hand and say at some point, you know, I pray. I believe in prayer. The fact is, sometimes we talk about prayer. We believe in prayer, but many times we do little of it. I always get frustrated sometimes at prayer meetings. You know, we spend 30 minutes of prayer time. We spend 25 minutes of prayer requests and 5 minutes of prayer. You know, that's sometimes how the way it works out. But God tells us how we can become better in our prayer life. Teach us, the disciples said, teach us to pray, Lord, like John's disciples taught them. And I pray that you'll have an open mind today. Jeremiah, again, is the longest prophetic book. Jeremiah was a lonely man. As far as I can tell in Scripture, he did not have a wife. He did not have any children. He didn't have much family. He was born in a priest's home. But the Bible doesn't tell us he had really any friends. It was a lonely ministry. He lived in a day that's much like ours when people are just rejecting the true and living God. They were going after false gods. He had to preach against his own country, Israel, and say some things that God put on his heart that were going to happen, captivity and those kinds of things. The only friend that we find that is recorded in the book of Jeremiah that Jeremiah had was a man whose name was Baruch. He was kind of like a secretary, Jeremiah's personal secretary. Jeremiah did not do the writings. He kind of dictated it to Baruch, and Baruch was the one that just copied down the words that we have. And well, that was kind of the mission. One of the most outstanding things is in all of that, Jeremiah was faithful. He was incarcerated, thrown in prison, thrown in a pit. But he was a faithful man. And in the middle of Jeremiah, we have this wonderful verse that you, again, have probably committed to memory. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Now, you have the notes there, and let me just try something here. And let's write in. Do you have a pencil pen there? Let's write in to begin with, our privilege and God's invitation. Our privilege and God's invitation. Now, that's found in verse 1, the first part of that verse. Why don't you just take this verse and just kind of think about it this morning. Our privilege and God's invitation. Now, what's that all about? It's in one little phrase there. Call unto me. Would you all say that together? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Call unto me. Now, that's God speaking. God says, call unto me. I think in your notes there, Psalm 50 and verse number 15. Look what it says. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Now, that's usually when we call. That's usually when we're ready to get in prayer mode. You know, when we're in trouble. Some of you have been praying like that perhaps this last week because you've been in trouble. Does that mean the only time we call on God? No. But here's the psalmist says in the context of some troubles going on. Now, the first thing we ought to come into our mind is, God, I've got to take this to you. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Teenagers, whether you got a final coming up, whether you got some exam coming up, whether you're wondering what's God's will for your life, call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Do you see the little parenthesis there after that verse? What is God saying? He's basically saying this. Talk to me. This is God speaking to us. Talk to me. If you could hear God's audible voice this morning, this is what he's saying. He would say audibly, would you please, teenager, talk to me? You talk to everybody else. You're on your cell phone. You're on email. You're on texting. And will you talk to me? You talk to everybody in the universe, but I want you to talk to me. I'm God. Call upon me. That is what the Lord's saying. And I'd like every adult here today and every young person to just get that settled in your craw this morning that God, the God of heaven, the God that created us, the God of the universe, this God that is the Most High God, the Almighty God, is saying to us, his creation, talk to me. I want you to talk to me. Really, prayer is talking. It's conversation to God, is it not? It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be memorized. God wants you in simple conversation, wants us in simple conversation to talk to the Lord. Sometimes we sing that song, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. And sometimes that is sadly a literal fact. We have just a little talk with Jesus. So how's your prayer life this morning? Do you talk with the Lord? Do you have to be reminded this morning that God said, call unto me, and I will answer. Call unto me, talk to me. And so our privilege, amazing privilege, is to talk to God. Let us come boldly, the Bible says. Let us come boldly. Come and talk to him. The most important thing that we'll ever do within the course of any given day is to talk to God. Stop and think about this. Today, there won't be anything more important in any event going on today than for you to come verily right into the actual presence of God and talking face to face with the living God. Call unto me. Nothing is more important than that. And yet, many times you and I will slack off and allow our prayer time to be the lowest thing on our priority list. Not just even in a personal time of a prayer life, but even talking and communicating with God throughout the day. Isn't it wonderful to develop a habit, whether you're in the car, people may think you're nuts on the I-10 or the 57 or whatever you happen to be on, and you're sitting there and you're mouthing away and people are looking over and say, man, is that guy talking to himself or what happened? And you said, no, I'm just praying. Isn't it wonderful to walk in into the presence of sometimes people that are kind of just carrying on a conversation with themselves and you wonder what they're doing and they say, no, I'm just praying. Do you have that habit? Talking with God. Call unto me. Call unto me. Well, let's look at the next one here. Our promise and God's intention as we move on here. Call unto me, and here it is, and I will answer thee. That is great. And I will answer. Call unto me. You pray. And I will answer thee. Every day I begin somewhat of my prayer in the morning of just reminding me of this verse right here. I think of this verse so often. But I think of the Lord standing there and saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm ready to listen. I've got all ears to you, Dave. I want to listen to what you have to say. And I kind of say to the Lord, where the Bible says, keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. We're to ask and to seek and knock and keep on. And it's me, Dave Smith. I'm here, Lord, to ask you some things and to seek some things and to knock on the door, that the door will be open. I want to ask and I want to find. I want to seek and find. And I want to knock and the door. I want the doors to be open. I've got some doors, Lord, I need to be open. How many of you are here this morning that are needing to see some amazing answers to prayer? Could I see your hands? You need to see some. All right. We want to talk about that because God wants to encourage us. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. That's our promise. We can claim that as a promise this morning, just as much as Jeremiah claimed that in his day. God says, I will answer you. I want to know this morning as I'm sitting here in this Sunday school class, as I'm here in Sunday morning at Lighthouse Baptist Church, that I serve a God that is not just deaf to me, that doesn't listen. I want a God that I know that is personal to me, that says I can talk to him, and he will not just hear and ignore me, but he will answer me. He answers prayer. That's our promise. It's God's invitation. God invites us to say, go ahead, put me to the test. You go ahead and pray, and I will answer. Take your Bible over to 1 Kings, if you would, please. 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's turn back there just to remind us of what an amazing passage this is. This is Elijah with the false prophets of Baal. You remember that? And remember he says, Elijah says, as everybody was gathered there on Mount Carmel, verse number 20, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Sometimes that's the way we are sometimes. Well, you know, I believe in the Lord, but maybe the practicality of our living relationship with God is not all it should be and cracked up to be. And if how long are we going to halt between two opinions? Then he puts them to the test in verse 24. You call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. There was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar, which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. Now, this is Elijah mocking these that are worshiping these idols. So maybe your God's on a long journey, or maybe he's off on an errand. Maybe he's sleeping. Why don't you call a little louder and wake him up? Are you glad this morning that we have a God this morning that is not that kind of God? This is an amazing passage. They cried aloud, verse 28, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And they came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him and repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Maybe that's what we need to do. Because you were here, if some of you were here when I did a missions conference at Lighthouse Baptist Church, I think I had just returned from the country of Nepal. And I believe I shared with you the experience that I had over in Nepal. Nepal is some Buddhism, but mostly Hinduism. And there's more spiritism, more demon possession there than I've ever experienced anywhere that I've traveled in the world. And I was speaking to some missionaries and asked this question, how do you effectively reach a Hindu for Christ? How do you witness to them? I know you preach the gospel, But how do you reach their attention? Because they're so devoted, they're so oppressed with demonic oppression, and the atmosphere, you could cut it with a knife. How in the world do you tell them the difference between Christianity and the truth of a living God and Hinduism, where they have, what, 3 million gods? I've never seen more idols than I ever saw in Nepal. They're on tables. They sell them. There's millions of them. And they'll be glad to just add another idol of Jesus Christ to them if you give them one. That's their mindset. And here's what the missionary said that we're having effect planting churches over there in Nepal, in Kathmandu. They said, we tell these Hindus that our God is different than yours. Listen carefully. We tell them that our God answers prayers. Now, you're sitting there comfortable with that and say, well, amen, preacher. I believe our God answers prayers. But if I had the opportunity to go and interfacing with each one of you individually and saying, tell me right now, what outstanding answer to prayer have you had that lately, fresh, that would convince a Hindu to turn from Hinduism to Christianity? Is that a fair question, teenagers? What would you say that would convince a Hindu that your God's different than theirs? That your God is real. And I came back to the United States of America saying, you know, we need to have that message given in our churches. That we can't say, God answers prayer in the morning, God answers prayer at noon. We sing the song. But if I can't press you and you give me something relevant, of something fresh, I don't need something back 35 years ago. I need to know, what is your Christianity like that you call upon the name of the Lord and He answers you? I hope you could give me something, right? Because the Bible says God is God. Our God is different. We don't say, hey, Lord, wake up. Well, God's checked out. He's not in today. That's not going to do it. That's what the heathen did here in Elijah's day. But you fast forward that, and I'm afraid sometimes we would be blank, and yet we're serving the living God. That shouldn't be true. We're serving the God of Elijah. And I'm not suggesting that you go home and try to put God to the test and have Him answer by fire. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that we ought to have some legitimate answers to prayer of saying, this was not coincidence. This was God. This was God. I have something as fresh as yesterday. My youngest son moved a couple years ago from a place where he had a yard. And mowed the lawn, and he moved to a place that didn't have to do yard, didn't have a yard. So he gave me his Honda lawnmower. I like Honda lawnmowers because always on the first pull, man, they're boom, right? Oh, you never have to sit there and do this for 100 times. Honda. Now, I'm not plugging for Honda, but I'm just telling you, that's been my experience. I had a Honda. He said, Dad, I'll give you my Honda. Well, it was a couple years newer than mine, so I sold mine to a neighbor for $45, and I got Mark's new one. Now, fast forward a couple of years. Mark has now bought a new home in Orange. And he says, Dad, I need my lawnmower back. So what's the deal, Mark? I mean, you know, a gift is a gift, right? Hey, Dad, I need my lawnmower. So I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, I got to look for a lawnmower. What kind of lawnmower do I want? I want a Honda. And he says, hey, Dad, you got that lawnmower yet? Not yet. Just wait on, son. And so I put it in. I wasn't finding one, and I didn't want to go down to Costco and pay $300, $400 for a Honda lawnmower. They're fairly pricey. And so I put it in this little online thing in the old people's compound where we live, and 55-plus community. And I'm up in Fresno this week, and I get a call from I was up in San Francisco. And I get a call and saying, this is Gene. I said, hey, Gene, what can I do for you? He says, I saw your ad in the paper. My next-door neighbor saw this and asked me if I was selling my lawnmower. He had just bought a Honda lawnmower 2 years ago. His wife does the lawns. But she got sick, and they haven't used it in a year. And he said, I've got that thing, and I'll sell it. And he sold it to me cheap. I mean, cheap. And, you know, you say, well, big deal, you know, that, no, that was, I didn't ask, I wasn't, you know, it's a Honda. It's a brand new Honda. This thing, if you pull it down, it'll pull you, it'll go off by itself. It's amazing. God says, call unto me and I will answer thee. And you know, if somebody, I'm just asking, do you have something fresh this past week? That's all I'm asking. Do I have to press you? Do you have to go back to your journal, your diary, and figure out something? Or something outstanding in your life where God has done what he said he would do? Call unto me, and I will answer thee. God's our promise, God's intention. God intends to answer our prayers. I just want to encourage you this morning. Hey, we have a God that does that. That is the Lord that we serve. Well, let me go back here. So that is the promise. And God always answers prayer, folks. And I know sometimes we're not satisfied with God answers yes, he answers no, or he answers wait a while. I always like it when he answers yes, amen? And you do too. Those are some of the most exciting experiences of the Christian life. And I want to just reinforce the fact that God said, call on him, talk to me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Now, let's look at the next one here. Our provision, God's inspiration. We'll write that in there. Our provision, God's inspiration. What's the remainder of that verse? Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Here it gets good. And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, that little lawnmower thing was really a part of something that which I really didn't know. Could I say I got down on my knees and was pleading with God to answer my prayer and give me a Honda? My Bible says that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or even think. Now, that's where it gets exciting. God says, I'll not only give you what you're asking for, I'll give you above and exceeding abundantly above what you're asking or thinking. And I'll even surprise you. This past week, I can think of two major things. I'm not going to share them with you. They're rather personal to us. But they're outstanding things that God just did that said, wow, what? Wow. I prayed a little bit, but God gave this much, more than I could ask or think. God says, you call, you talk to me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. Our provision, what God provides for us, and how God wants to inspire you. You know, I go from church to church week after week, and I don't know what your experience is, and I thank God for you faithful folks, and you're not like that, like most churches. You are on fire, an unusual kind of church. But a lot of churches I go to, they just kind of look at you and say, I dare you to bless me. You know, I just dare you. You know, it's just like, what's wrong with your Christian life? You know, a little dab will do you, kind of brew cream religion. You know what I'm saying? Some of you older folks remember that one. But listen, God wants to bless us in our Christian life. Young people, we have the most fascinating Christian life experience that is bar none better than anything anybody else has to offer out there. We have the real deal. We have a real God. He says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. You say, what's that all about? Well, that word great and mighty literally means astonishing or inaccessible. I should use that word first. Inaccessible. Inaccessible. Any of you men like me here that have a wife that's not quite 6'3"? And she says, honey, will you come to the kitchen over here? Because we have our cupboards. We have 10-foot ceilings. So our cupboards go up 10 feet. And she's not blessed being 6'2". She says, honey, will you come over here and reach that for me? Well, I'll tell you how it's like. I just kind of walk over there a little macho and handle it. There you go. Or maybe, honey, I just can't get this lid off. Can anybody relate? Will you unscrew that thing for me? Oh, yeah. Let me help you. There you go. You know what I'm saying. That's exactly what God's saying here. If I say, call unto me, I will answer you. And I'm going to show you great and mighty things that I can do that you can't do. It's inaccessible. You can't reach. You can't unscrew that top. But I can. Is anything too hard for me? The Bible says. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Rhetorical question. And the answer is no. God, teenagers, wants to show you something that is inaccessible to you. God wants to show you something that is amazing. That word great and mighty is a word amazing. We use that word a lot today. That seems to be one of the cultural words. Wow, that's amazing. Just amazing. Incredible. Amazing. Just amazing. That's what God's saying here. I want to show you something inaccessible and amazing. Now let me ask you a question. What would you tell me? I just asked you a question before about answers to prayer. What would you give me of fresh things in your prayer life that God has done for you that has been inaccessible, that's been amazing, that's been incredible? I will show you great. Can you give me some of those things? Because God said, look, it's all predicated on the fact that you talk to me. See, this lesson this morning is all about the fact that you believe in prayer. I know you do. You talk about prayer, and you know your God is alive, and you know your God is different than some idols of Hindus and Buddhists and statues on a dashboard. You know your God is different than that. But where, as Brother McGee used to say, who's now with the Lord, where is the rubber that meets the road in your Christian life, in your prayer life, that backs it up? And we need to leave Sunday school this morning. My prayer is, with just a shot in the arm and just a little bit of encouragement, that we have a God that says, talk to me. Will you, for crying out loud, talk to me. Come into my presence. I'm your God. I formed you. I knew you before I formed you. I am God that is all-powerful, all-knowing. I can do those kinds of things. Talk to me, and I will answer you. I'm not like those other idols and that sort of thing. I will answer you. Great and mighty things, amazing things, which you know not. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 12, and we'll finish up with this. Acts chapter 12. Just to refresh our minds with this story. Remember, Peter has been placed in prison. The Bible says in verse number 5, chapter 12, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but I love these two words, but prayer. That's where Lighthouse Baptist Church and members of Lighthouse Baptist Church need to be in access of life. Things can go on, but prayer. That's the foundation that we rest upon, everybody. We have a prayer-answering God. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And you know the story, how the angel comes and wakes up Peter. And Peter's kind of dazed. I don't know how you wake up out of sleep and that sort of thing. He's kind of dazed. And bingo, boy, fetters that he was in jail with, all of a sudden free. He's walking out of jail with a free ticket, and the guards are all in deep sleep, and it's an amazing thing. And he comes and knocks on the door where the church was praying. Now, you pick that up, verse number 12. Look at that. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They were doing the right thing. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken unto Rhoda, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Left Peter standing at the door. You know the story. Funny. You know, I can imagine Peter out there. Hey, man, I want to get in. I want to get in. And they said unto her, thou art mad. That's where many of us are. When it comes to really believing that God will show us great and mighty things, was it, nah, that can't really happen. Yes, it can. He said, you're mad. Well, read on here. And said, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were, what's the next word, church? Astonished. Astonished. Hey, teens, that's how I want you to live your Christian life. Well, better yet, that's how God wants you to live your Christian life. He wants you to live a Christian life as a teenager that's astonishing. You go around saying, wow, look what God did. That's the kind of God you need in your generation, in our culture. Because there's a generation that's lost as lost can be. And they need to see God working in your life because you talk to God and you call upon Him because He's going to answer you. And showing you great and mighty things, I challenge you to think about some great and mighty things that have astonished you and will astonish others. Because that's the God we serve today. He hasn't changed a lick. And I challenge you as adults here today, throughout here in this auditorium, leave this morning recognizing that God wants to astonish you. Talk to me. Talk to me. I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Let's leave with that kind of encouragement about our prayer life. Let's go into this week. Will we? Can we? Let's go into this week saying, by the grace of God, I'm going to take God His word and claim that promise. What an invitation God has given to us. Can we say that verse together before we close in prayer? Jeremiah, say it with me, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Amen. Father, bless us as we go into the next hour and